Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A very, very happy Friday to all of you. We made it through another week together. We always let our hair down on Fridays and have some fun, and we're going to do that again today on the Cale Clark Show. We've got a lot coming up for you, a lot of surprises. Another week that was coming up, produced by none other than the great Jim Shaper. And we want to give out the phone number so you can call in right now. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. You can email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com, and follow me on Twitter. Come and follow me, and I will give you tweets. At Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, speaking of Twitter, something that I saw a couple of days ago come across on Twitter, but everybody is talking about it in the business world. Elon Musk, who of course is the richest man on earth, last I checked, although sometimes he goes back and forth on that with Jeff Bezos, but I think Musk has pulled ahead by a good margin at this juncture. He is demanding that his employees, not only at Tesla, of course he's the CEO of Tesla, the electric car company, an energy company. There's more in the bag than just cars for them. And he's also the CEO of SpaceX, which you've heard about, no doubt, their rockets and all the cool stuff that they're doing. He has demanded RTO from his employees, return to office or quit. No more remote work. Forget it. It's over. So here's a copy of the email he sent to his Tesla employees, and he sent a similar email to his employees at SpaceX. And if you've heard about this already, you can jump on the phone right now and call me, 888-914-9149, because I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this concept of a return to work order, everyone's still working, of course, but return to office order. Have you been dealing with this in your own work? Obviously, it's Friday. You don't have to use your real name if you're afraid your boss is listening, but have you been dealing with this in your own office? Do you prefer working remotely? Do you actually feel you're more productive that way? Or would you rather be in the office, and why? I'd love to hear from you. I really want to hear your take on this. 888-914-9149 is the number to call for the Cale Clark Show. But here's the email that was leaked out on Twitter, and Elon Musk has essentially verified the authenticity of this email. And this is to his Tesla employees. And it says, from Elon Musk. So you definitely want to open that email if you've worked for Tesla. The subject line says, to be super clear. To be super clear. So here's the body of the email. Everyone at Tesla is required to spend a minimum of 40 hours in the office per week. Moreover, the office must be where your actual colleagues are located, not some remote pseudo office. If you don't show up, we will assume you have resigned. The more senior you are, the more visible must be your presence. That is why I lived in the factory so much, so that those on the line could see me working alongside them. If I had not done that, Tesla would long ago have gone bankrupt. And by the way, he's referencing, I believe, a specific time period in 2018 where he literally did sleep on the Fremont, California Tesla factory floor when the company was literally hanging by a thread. it could have gone under very easily. They were really in a jam trying to produce Model 3s, and he slept in the factory for quite some time. And I think that has a powerful message, of course, to the employees. If the leader, if the CEO is doing that, if that's how committed he is, what's your excuse? Okay, let's get back to Elon's email here. He says, there are, of course, companies that don't require this idea of returning to the office. But when was the last time they shipped a great new product? It's been a while. Tesla has and will create and actually manufacture the most exciting and meaningful products of any company on Earth. This will not happen by phoning it in. Thanks, Elon. Okay, so that's the email. The email from Elon. And so I have to add this last paragraph where he says, Tesla has and will create and actually manufacture the most exciting and meaningful products on Earth. Shipping is hard. It's easy to have ideas. It's easy to have a concept in your mind. But actually manufacturing and shipping these things, these products at scale, that's hard. That's really, really hard. There are a lot of electric car companies, quote unquote, that have all kinds of visions for the future, and they've had stock offerings. But can they produce? Can they produce at a large scale? I'm looking at you, Rivian. Can they produce? Great stuff. Cool-looking trucks, but can they produce at scale? That's the difficulty. Shipping is hard when it comes to products. But I want to ask you what you think about this. If you were working at Tesla, would you be happy about this? Would you be like, yeah, let's go back to the office or not? So there have been a ton of reactions, as you might imagine, on social media about this. A lot of people are writing about this. So here's some comments I heard in response on Twitter, just to give you a flavor. And here's a tweet from a guy named, well, this is his, I don't know what his real name is, but his Twitter tagline is @MetalGodChris. Okay, so obviously he's into, I'm assuming, Metallica, other heavy metal mavens. Anyway, so he says, I'm a software engineer. It takes me 30 minutes to get to the office, 10 minutes getting situated, a 10-minute break because somebody saw me and wanted to talk, a one-hour lunch break, but it takes 20 minutes to get to the restaurant and back, 10 minutes worth of bathroom breaks, 45-minute drive heading home. Total time wasted, 2 hours, 5 minutes. I would say that's probably on the low side when it comes to travel time. Some people, in big cities, like city where I live, Toronto, not uncommon for people to live well over an hour outside the downtown core if they're commuting. Housing prices being what they are, it's very difficult to get an affordable place near the city. So 2 hours and 5 minutes, a lot of people are spending that just driving one way. I know a guy who lives over 2 hours from his workplace, and he does that every single day, two ways, there and back. So, and then other people are not cool with this. I guess this guy's basically saying when you work in the office, there are a lot of interruptions. Yes, of course, there are people who bother you, interrupt you. It's difficult to get focused. Some people say that statistically, every time you get interrupted in your work, it takes on average 20 minutes to get back to what you're doing to refocus. That's also a lot of lost time, if that's true. Then other people are not necessarily in disagreement with Elon. One guy on Twitter by the name of Kevin Miller said, "People who love to work from home," he said, "live to work from home," but I think he meant love. I live to work from home. I think he meant love to work from home. People who love to work from home also tend to be people who love not being productive. Not 100% correlation, but definitely highly correlated. I don't know about that. Okay, someone else says, so this is a person named, well, obviously not a real name, Limited Edition. So forcing remote workers to commute to an office complex that requires heat, air conditioning, plumbing, electricity, etc., makes you more successful? It seems like an enormous waste of limited natural resources and money. Plus, it reduces actual work time. Pretty short-sighted, according to the Twitter user known as Limited Edition. So, anyways, that's just a smattering of some of the takes that are out there on social media. All right, so the New York Times kind of filled in a little bit of, many business publications writing about this choice that Elon is making. And he's getting right into this debate about how to, or whether or not to at all, bring office workers back to the building. I was going to say after the pandemic, but we're not really done with the pandemic yet. It just kind of lingers on. I think the whole country has long COVID. It just won't go away. It just won't go away. So over the past couple of years, over the past 24 months, different firms have looked at this in different ways. For example, Meta, and of course we know that was the company formerly known as Facebook. It's rebranded itself as Meta. It's so meta. They have kind of had a return to office policy, which they announced, and then they had to delay it, walk it back when COVID cases went up. Same with Microsoft. Apple actually had a bit of a snafu last month. In May, they had said everybody has to come back to our Apple Park offices, the wonderful spaceship-like, circular, futuristic building in California, in Palo Alto, California, 3 days a week. You've got to come back 3 days a week. But then they had to walk that back. They had to suspend that requirement because COVID-19 cases went up. Employees complained. They're like, I'm not going back. I actually feel like I'm more productive at home. Airbnb, that's another company that kind of was getting hammered during the pandemic. Obviously, no one's traveling, so their stock took a nosedive. Well, things are, starting to rebuild on that front. So Airbnb recently told its employees they never have to come back to the office. And same with another major company called Shopify. They said, nope, we're going completely remote. We're getting rid of all physical buildings. It's too much overhead. It costs too much to buy and maintain these buildings. We don't really need them. We can find great workers who live anywhere in the world who can work digitally. We're not going to do this at all. But of course, Mr. Musk disagrees with that point of view. He thinks that obviously there are certain synergies that happen that you can only achieve when you're together in the office. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Have you been more productive? If you've been working remotely, have you actually been more productive? Have you actually been making better use of your time? I know so many people that actually find themselves working far more than they ever did from home. And that's not necessarily a good thing because they're overloading themselves. They just never shut it off. There's not that natural break between leaving work and you're getting on public transportation, hopping on the subway or getting in your car, whatever it may be. That sort of decompression time, that separation between the workplace and the home, it's all kind of one place. And people find themselves working more and more and more. So do you agree with this? What's been your own experience? 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go now to the phones right now. Gary is calling from Pittsburgh. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Hi, Carol. Good. And how are you today?
I am fantastic. I'm fantastic. Good to hear from somebody in the Steel City. What's going on there? It's funny, too, because Pittsburgh has had this incredible renaissance and transformation from that background, and maybe you're a part of that, Gary, but tell me about what's going on in your work.
Okay, I work for a bank in Pittsburgh, and we've been remote the past couple of years, and there's been some talk about people coming back to the office, and the director, who's a few levels above me, wanted the team that I work with and other people under him to go to the office once a week. And we talk with our manager. And, for instance, me and the other people in Pittsburgh, we work with people in other cities. So there's no benefit to me coming into the office, since if I'm going to work with somebody, if I'm going to talk with somebody, I'm on the phone. There's nobody in Pittsburgh who I'm actually physically working with. And so our manager presented our case, and after multiple tries, the director agreed with us. And so it looks like we're going to be home 100% of the time, except for maybe a quarterly team get together or something along those lines.
Gotcha. And how's that working for you personally? How's that affecting your own production levels, your happiness working. What do you think about that, Gary?
I prefer to work from home on days where maybe I'm not as productive as I want. Then I'll just work some extra time to compensate. So I like the flexibility. I like, for instance, going to the gym in the morning.
Yep.
Plus, I have six children at home, six young children.
Wow.
And so if my wife needs to take a child to the doctor or dentist or those types of things, I'm home. So she doesn't have to do anything extra in order to do so. So it makes our lives much easier from that perspective.
That's a great perspective, the flexibility. And obviously, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. So, hey, Gary, thanks so much for calling in. You're obviously a blessed man with six kids, and I hope you and your family have an amazing weekend. Thanks for the listen, and call back anytime. That was Gary from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with his take on this issue. So when the New York Times was reporting on this, Elon Musk, we're talking about Elon Musk's RTO order. He's telling his employees at his two companies, Tesla and SpaceX. Going to be interesting to see what happens with Twitter, because the major, I guess, regulatory roadblock that he would have had has been removed now. It looks like he will assume control of Twitter as well. Jack Dorsey, who used to be in control of, he ceded control to a manager, a CEO that he hired. But Twitter founder Jack Dorsey had said basically that all employees could be remote. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at Twitter if Elon Musk does in fact assume control of that company as well. Will he demand that all employees come back to the office there as well? So in the New York Times, Nick Bloom was interviewed from Stanford University. He's an economics professor, and he actually says that this directive that Musk is bringing forth is actually one of the strictest that he's ever seen in tech companies in terms of getting people back into the office, because most companies seem to be at least going to a hybrid model where employees can work from home for part of the time, maybe have to come in 2, maybe 3 days a week. But he actually said, Nick Bloom, this economics prof from Stanford, says he actually thinks that SpaceX and Tesla will lose about 20% of their employees. Wow, up to 20%. And that's pretty shocking to think about, because in the fields in which they operate, all of the sort of hotshot engineers, if you're an engineer or if you work in AI, artificial intelligence, these are kind of hot, very, very sexy, I guess you could say, occupations right now. If that's your field, if you want to get hired by Tesla, because they're on the cutting edge, they're doing stuff that nobody else is doing. There was a day when the top engineers would want to go maybe straight to Apple. That's not really happening. Your number one choice is Tesla or SpaceX, which is obviously also cutting edge. Now, some people might argue with me on that, but if let's say you're making electric vehicles, or you're interested in working in that field, are you really going to go to General Motors, who are having major problems producing more than 10 cars a year, or you want to go to Tesla? I'm not taking a shot at any of these legacy car companies. I think they will eventually get there, but I think Tesla's got a huge lead right now. So think about that. So if everybody wants to work there, would this actually, if you got an offer but you had to go there 100% of your time, would that change your mind? So other companies are going to come in and try to poach these employees or potential employees by offering, hey, we can give you something that Elon Musk will not give you. That is the ability to work remotely and maybe give you some other perks. So, and especially if your field is, say you work in human resources or information technology, they might say, look, I don't need to be on the factory floor, right? I can do this job remotely. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So some people think that Musk's view is outdated. Some might think it's genius. Some might think that this is an old school mentality that needs to be, once again, a new school mentality. But here's another interesting angle, too, that the New York Times raises the issue of whether or not Mr. Musk himself will adhere to his own directive. I guess he could do whatever he wants. He owns both of these companies. But there were days, obviously, when he was sleeping on the factory floor. But right now, according to some anonymous individuals who commented, who know the situation, whether they're former employees or what, They're saying that there are a couple of anonymous sources quoted saying that he is rarely in the office himself these days. We've seen him obviously traveling the world. He's obviously involved in a lot of things. He's got his finger in a lot of pies right now with Twitter. So is he himself going to do it? Because I do think it has to be a top-down thing. It has to be an example set by the leader. Will he himself adhere to that? That's an interesting question as well. So that reporting done by Ryan Mack at the New York Times, but a lot of business publications have been weighing in on this. So love to hear your thoughts on this. How is this affecting you? Would you prefer to work remotely or on site, and why or why not? 888-914-9149. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Got to take a quick break, but we got lots of stuff on the other side that you do not want to miss. So hang with me. 888-914-9149. Be right back. Welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call to talk to me for free on the K.O. Clark Show on this Friday, 888-914-9149. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Ray is calling from Reno, Nevada. Hello, Ray.
Hi, K.O. How are you?
I'm well. And your name is spelled Ray like the character from the new Star Wars films, right?
No, No, it's R-A-E. Hers is R-E-I, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. It was on my screen here. I think somebody misspelled it when they typed it in. But anyways, well, Ray, it is a pleasure to talk to you. What do you think about all this?
So I've done both. Okay. And I really do think it depends on, number one, the industry. Number two, the position you hold and the location. For instance, there might be a really big company or a company that is in a rural area that doesn't have the pool of employees and they can work remotely. I mean, there's too many things to just say, you know, he's right or wrong because
there's not a one size fits all argument.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And certainly, as the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, certainly Elon Musk has the prerogative to, if he wants to call the employees back to the office, he can do it. He's got the power to do it. And he certainly won't be short of people wanting to work there if current employees want to leave and they don't want to sort of adhere to that policy. So some might disagree with him. And that's what we've been talking about here on the K.O. Clark Show, this leaked email from Elon Musk to his employees telling them to go back to the office or quit. Well, Ray, have a wonderful weekend out there in Nevada. Thank you so much for calling, and call back anytime. Wonderful to talk to you. All right, let's go now to Mariano in San Diego. Hello, Mariano.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, how are you, K.O.? How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, sir?
All right, thank you. I would like to know the readings you use for your wedding day. I would like to have them.
Okay, are you thinking about getting married?
Yes, by the church. Thank God.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, well, yeah, you can certainly steal my idea. My wife is listening. I know, so I need to remember this. But that's okay. I do remember, Mariano. So the readings that we had for our wedding mass were, the first reading was from the book of Tobit, and that was the Tobias and Sarah, their wedding night. They have this beautiful prayer to God asking them to bless their marriage. And he also doesn't want to die because she's been married to other people, but the marriages were never consummated because there was this demon named Asmodeus who kept killing the husbands on their wedding night. Terrible story. Well, that wasn't part of the reading. I thought that the audience might be freaking out at that point if that were the case. But so we just decided to stick with, that's one of the reasons why he was praying. He's like, I don't want to die. But Tobias does have this beautiful prayer, which you should check out. It's from the book of Tobit. And then we had Psalm, I believe it was 128, I think it was, which is, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the midst of your home. Your children shall be like olive shoots around your table. Blessed are those who love you. Happy those who follow you. Just a wonderful psalm. And then the New Testament reading was from Ephesians chapter 5, which is not exactly everybody's first choice in today's day and age, where St. Paul talks about obedience, you know, wives obey your husbands and all that. People freak out about that. What does he really mean by this? He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's one of the things he gets into in that chapter. But he does say, love husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what did he do for the church? Well, he gave his life for his bride, the church, poured out every last drop of blood. So servant leadership, I think that's what it's all about. And so I don't think too many ladies would be upset if their husbands loved them the way that Christ loved his bride, the church. I don't think they'd argue with that. They'd probably be looking for that, hopefully. And so, yeah, and of course the bride to be this faithful bride to the husband, as hopefully the church should be to Christ, is ideal. And then the gospel reading was from John chapter 17. And that's when, this is the great high priestly prayer of Jesus before he enters into his passion, before he's arrested. And he says, Father, I pray that they might be one, talking about his followers, they might be one as you and I are one. Why? So that the world will know that you sent me. And so that's what people kind of need to see this lived out. And so the love and the unity between husband and wife should hopefully be a sign of the unity to the world of Christ and his church. And so the life-giving power that's there, and that's what we wanted our marriage to be all about, to be a witness to Christ and the church, and hopefully somehow draw other people to the church through us, as imperfect as we are. So that's what we picked. That's what we picked, Mariano. So there's some ideas for you. And very often when you go to your parish of marriage preparation, they'll give you some other ideas too. They sometimes have these little booklets that they'll give couples. Here's some potential readings you could use. But that's what I did. That's what I did. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And listen, we'll all pray for you. And I'll ask everybody listening to pray for you in your upcoming marriage. When's the wedding, Mariano?
Next July.
Next July. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you got lots of time to pray and prepare for that. So God bless you. God bless you. That's fantastic. So thanks for listening. Call anytime. That was Mariano calling from beautiful San Diego, California. One of my favorite cities in the whole world. All right, let's go now to Jacksonville, Florida. Mary is on the line from Jacksonville. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic.
Well, it is tonight in the East Coast. I don't know.
Where are you? That's right. It's evening my time. It's evening your time, too, out in Florida.
So it's pizza time at our house.
Pizza time, okay. That sounds delicious. You're making me hungry.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to comment. I mean, I am a small business employer and hopefully a good, you know, Catholic Christian. You know, this whole thing has really upended life and people's lives. Is it great that a mom can pick up her kids when they're done school? Yes. Or dad? But what does that really look like? I think nobody's really having the big discussion of what is best. What is best for the family? What is best for our society? What's best for our country? What does it really look like when mom and dad do pick up the kids and then they come home and then they've got to work at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night to make up the hour or the this or the that? You know, are we better off with the things that are orderly, more times when we are in persona, with others? What does it look like when someone can dictate to an employer what they can or can't do? I mean, this is America. We all have our rights and free will. You know, I don't think, I think Elon Musk may be onto something in the sense of, and the mayor himself in New York City, I'm in Florida now, but I grew up in New York, said we ought to get back to the city. We've got to eat from the hot dog stands and go to the local drugstore at lunchtime. Mm. And there is something to that. And there is something to going to work and coming back home.
Yeah.
And leaving work at work. You know,
I agree, Mary. I think it just hang on the line with me for a second. I just want to jump in here because I think it's a mixed bag either way. Like there are pluses and minuses either way. Like, for example, right now with the price of gas, a coworker was telling me recently that they're spending 45 minutes on the road trying to get to work and spending tons of money on gas. And I mean, unless you're blessed to have a Tesla, you know, and drive electric, that's a bill, right? And but at the same time, you do get that separation of work and home life. And I do think that employers need to be respectful of people's time. And I think that actually pays off for the employer as well. I don't think a lot of employers realize that their employees would actually be much happier and paradoxically more productive if they have order. And you mentioned order, this idea of, okay, when it's time to shut it down and be with your family, that's good for you. And that's good for the business as well, because you're living a more well-rounded life. You're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of your relationships, your families. If you're working 24/7, 365, that's a recipe for disaster. And so we are human beings, not human doings. We all have to work hard. We're created to work. As the Bible tells us, as birds were created to fly, men and women were created to work. And so we've got to do that. But St. Jose Maria Escrivá used to say this, and he had a lot to say about work and the spiritual life. Hey, if your shovel weighs 100 pounds, that's not a good idea, right? Because that's putting the focus in the wrong place. And so it can't be a burden. It's a means to an end. It's not the end. And the end, of course, is God and glorifying God in our life. And so our work is an important part of that, but it can never be allowed to so dominate everything that we live lives that are completely out of balance, completely out of whack. So Mary, if you're a business owner and it sounds like you're somebody who really thinks about your faith, I'm sure that you're thinking about ways to do right by your employees and put those types of considerations into practice, right? So,
yeah, I mean, and you know, we all have scenarios, right? So, and we want to respect people. I think the good news maybe is it opens up the larger picture of, look, some people may say, hey, I can come to the office and do all of this in 4 work days. And I want a yep. 3-day weekend.
Some people are going to that. It's if we really focus in, you can get the same amount of work, maybe even more done without distractions and just being more intentional about what you're doing. I think focus is a huge part of it as well. So Mary, hey, listen, I want to thank you for calling in. Great insights there, Mary in Jacksonville. Enjoy your pizza. Save a slice for me. I'm coming over for dinner. No, just kidding. I don't have a private jet like Elon, but I wish I could. Anyways, let's go now to the other side of the country, out on the West Coast. Jackie is in California. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Kale. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm sure. Sorry. You got
yes,
it, Jackie.
I just wanted to come. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to comment, and I totally do agree with the two previous callers that it does depend on the position and the employer. I've done myself flexible schedule mm-hmm. for which, you know, I've done from work, from home, and from office. And to be honest, you know, just like Mary, I'd rather be going to work at the office. Why? Because I have the 100% focus on what I have to get done. Mm-hmm. Whereas being at home, I have my kids. I have the chores at home. Yep. And then I had to find a fine balance, which is sometimes kind of challenging because
I agree with
you
that.
And I'll be in the middle of a, you know, team meeting, and then I have my little one come and say, "Mom, I need help with this."
Yeah.
So it is It is kind of challenging, but I do understand other parents that have little ones, and, you know, daycare is not as cheap as we can tell right now, and so
that's
it's best prices. But, yeah, I totally go for going back to work. Not only that, you know, also the psychological aspect of it, you know, that now in our society, in our communities, we see a lot of, you know, depression and sadness because we ourselves are, you know, isolating, you know, from, you know, other human contacts, you know, like having a conversation, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, I think that it's a big issue right now.
Jackie, you made a lot of great points there. And I think especially for parents who, I think about at the beginning of the pandemic when schools shut down, daycare centers shut down. Now, all of a sudden, not only are you working from home, but your kids are there too, trying to go to school online or whatever the case may be. That's a challenge. That's a challenge to have. It's one thing if you're kind of on your own working from home, but there, that is a whole different ballgame. And I know it's been tough for everybody. And a lot of kids actually did okay online when they were studying, and maybe they were just kind of loners, or they lock in that way. But others really, and not just kids, but adults too, they really did not do well because of the lack of human interaction. That's something that you mentioned, Jackie. I do think that for a lot of people, that social interaction, they need the in-person. And it's true for communication as well. Obviously, seeing people on Zoom, that's one thing. But when you see them in person, it's a totally different ballgame. There's so much nonverbal communication, right? They say that, what, 90% of communication is nonverbal, like the raised eyebrow. There's just certain expressions that people have that you just can't pick up on the phone or even on Zoom, even on a video call. There's something about personal presence that is different. And I do think that's a huge factor. That's an absolutely huge factor. So, Jackie, really great insights there. Thanks so much for calling in. Call back anytime. Really intriguing, this whole idea of Elon Musk ordering employees back to the office. Get back here or quit, he basically said. Other companies disagreeing, other employees not so happy about this. It's the great debate, work from home, work remote, some hybrid model. The world has changed over the past couple of years. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Everybody's got takes on this, and you probably have one too. Love to hear it. 888-914-9149. I got to take a quick break right now once again, but we'll be back with the week that was on the other side of the break. Don't miss it.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, you know what is available in all 50 states? The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And all around the world on the Relevant Radio mobile app. Yep, you can take it with you. Make sure that you binge listen to any shows that you've missed, whether it's this show, whether it's the Faith Explained program, or any of the other great programs that we have here on Relevant Radio. You can listen to them all. They're archived on the Relevant Radio app. Well, because it's Friday, producer Jim Shaper has been hard at work shaping up the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. Here it is. Motivational speaker Matt Foley, obviously Chris Farley, the late Saturday Night Live star.
My name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker.
He actually named his iconic character after you. You were friends with him.
Well, Chris and I met on a rugby pitch at Marquette University and became fast friends. And I went to the seminary after that. He was a very holy man. He was a daily communicant, very big on that. He was at my first mass. I was his confessor. He named the character I was at actually on Wall Street in Second City, and he would use somebody else's name, but he used my name that day, never changed the name, brought it to Saturday Night Live. So I was very, very blessed by that.
So Israel Zolli was born in 1881, and he was actually the youngest of five children. He came from a really very wealthy, well-to-do Jewish family. But he became friends with a Catholic boy. When he used to go over to this Catholic boy's house, they would kind of do their homework at the dining table, and there was a really large crucifix that was on the wall. And he remembered seeing that, and Israel Zolli said that experience, he was about 8 years old at the time, really affected him. And he wrote about it. He said, this is Israel Zolli writing, he said, "It seemed that in that room, in the presence of the crucifix, one could not help being serene, gentle, and good." My birthday got off to a really good start last night because Cale scored last night. I'm talking, of course, about Cale Makar from the Colorado Avalanche.
9-6.
Got a phone call. It's Michaela. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Daddy. Happy birthday, dear Daddy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Michaela. Love you so much. But I want to talk about today's saint. This is really who the day is all about. This is St. Justin Martyr. St. Justin Martyr gives us a really good roadmap for how to share our faith with people who we might not actually have a lot in common with. Justin Martyr was a philosopher. He was all into all the latest and greatest philosophical ideas of the time. And he was walking along the beach, and he met this mysterious old man on the beach who turned out to be a Christian. And he said he found from this guy the true philosophy, that Jesus Christ is, and his teaching is really the true philosophy. What's been called the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, and that's a reference to the very famous verse from the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I don't see many John 3:18 banners hung out there. That says whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. I'm getting stoked for the NBA Finals, which start tonight. I think it's just going to be a really fascinating series. I think these are the two best teams in basketball for sure. I'm picking the Celtics in seven. And by the way, if there's a bad call or questionable call in the game, they're going to go to the greatest NBA referee of all time and Catholic deacon, Steve Javvy. He's a great, great dude. He's a friend of the program. He's going to be on the Cale Clark Show this coming Tuesday. He's going to be talking about being a Catholic deacon in Pennsylvania, breaking down the NBA Finals, what's going on. The dude abides, and that dude is actually Steve Javvy. All right, at the buzzer. Got it in there. Producer Jim Shaper, was that the buzzer? Did I jump in too soon?
Nope, that is all right, the all right, end. That was yours, brother.
That was awesome. The week that was, I always get a laugh. I never hear it. The first time I hear it is on the show live with you. So I'm usually laughing out loud at something, and I love that you put in the Chris Farley clip. My name is Matt Foley. I'm a motivational speaker. I live in a van down by the river. So Jim came out of his van, and he produced the week that was. That was awesome. That was incredible. Yeah, we did that on Memorial Day. We kind of tweaked it. This was an interview that we originally did on Veterans Day. We tried to make it fit, and I think it was appropriate because on Memorial Day we had Father Matt Foley, who is a military chaplain, the inspiration for Chris Farley's character Matt Foley, and a real life friend of the late comedian, talking about military service, talking about just a lot of different stuff. That was a great episode. So that's available as a podcast as well. And it's always great when Michaela calls into the show. You hear her voice at the end of every episode, and proud to be her dad. And speaking of that, her school had a Father's Day. It's a little bit early, a Father's Day celebration. And they had a big soccer game between the dads and the kids. And it was a lot of fun. Michaela actually scored two goals. It was awesome. And I even got one in. I was like Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso. Football is life. It was great. It was a lot of fun. So, speaking of dads, by the way, Father Rocky, now he's a spiritual father to us here at Relevant Radio, but he talks in his new book, The Memorare Moment, about his own dad. And I got to share a little bit of this with you because one of the things I really love about this book, and by the way, I have to remind you once again, this is your last chance. You got to do this right now during this hour. Even as you're listening to me right now, go to relevantradio.com/moment. If you're using the app, there'll be a pop-up. You can just click on it. You need to get this book. It's free. We want to give this to you. We want to get it into your hands. Jesus said, freely I give to you, and freely you got to give as well. Freely you've received, freely you got to give. And that's what we live by here at Relevant Radio. So, get the book right now. Go to relevantradio.com/moment. You've got really less than 24 hours to pull this off, but I would suggest doing it right now because once supplies are out, they are gone. That's it. And it's such a great explanation of the memorary prayer. But what I love about the book more than anything are the anecdotes from Father Rocky's family life. And last time, or earlier this week, I talked about Father's relationship with his mom and how he says, growing up, I had two moms. I had my own mom, and of course, I had Mother Mary. And his dad was also a great influence as well, and really powerful story about his father. And Father Rocky says, hey, if it were not for Mary and the rosary, I might never have been born. Because in the spring of 1943, his father was serving in the U.S. Army in the 41st Infantry Division, speaking about the military, and he was on a beach in New Guinea, leaning up against a tree. They were at ease, he and his buddies. Their rifles were slung loose over their shoulders, Father says, and they'd been pushing their way along New Guinea's northern coastline as part of General Douglas MacArthur's strategy to wrest control of the Pacific Islands from the Japanese. And it was a very dangerous assignment. Dense rainforest jungle, mangrove swamps, monsoon rains, 10 inches of rain dumped in a day. It was not easy slogging, to say the least, carrying all kinds of packs and gear, 90-degree heat and humidity, malaria, the enemy lying in wait. And that's exactly what happened to Father Rocky's dad and his compatriots on that day. All of a sudden, enemy artillery fire came onto them on the beach, and at least two of Father Rocky's dad's fellow soldiers were killed that day, and the tree that Father Rocky's dad was leaning up against probably saved his life. The bullets just bounced harmlessly off of that tree, shielded him from the shrapnel. And I've noticed this. Father Rocky says this about his dad, and I've noticed this when talking to a lot of different vets. He said, my dad never talked about the war or any of the battles that he had seen until much later in his life. Most of what I know, Father says, about his experiences, I had to reconstruct from accounts in history books. And so he did do that. And his father was one of the few from his company to return home uninjured, and he always attributed that to the intercession of Mary. He prayed the rosary every day and carried his rosary in his pocket with him everywhere. And every night, he and a few of his brothers-in-arms would gather together to pray the rosary for themselves and their loved ones back home. And this is something, by the way, that Father Rocky's dad promised his mom, that when he went away for World War II, and he left in 1941, came back to Chicago after the war in 1945, every night they made a pact that they would pray the rosary together. I think it was at 9 p.m. every night. And so they would kind of just coordinate that and kind of spiritually unite themselves in prayer. What a powerful example. Once again, I do think these family prayer anecdotes are where Father came up with this concept of the family rosary across America. It's what we do every night here on Relevant Radio at 7 p.m. Central. So that's coming up later tonight after Timmery's show. So you're going to want to stick around for that. But you're definitely going to want to go to relevantradio.com/moment. It's your last chance to get the free book. We'll mail it to you for free. relevantradio.com/moment to get the Memorary Moment by Father Rocky Hoffman. It's an incredible book. I really enjoyed it, and I know that you will too. So check it out. Don't waste any opportunity to grab this, and tell your friends about it too. And hey, well, I was right. That little clip the week that was, I proved a prophet. The Celtics did win game one of the NBA Finals. And I know Patrick Alog, who's working the phones right now for us, is really upset about this. He's a West Coast guy. He's pulling for the Warriors. And I love watching the Warriors play. And I was actually shocked last night because Steph Curry went off for 21 points in the first quarter. I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to score 80 tonight. He didn't score a single point in the second quarter. That's the kind of smothering, suffocating defense the Celtics can play. But nonetheless, it was a game of wild swings, the first game of the NBA Finals last night on ABC. And Warriors had a great third quarter, as they so often do historically. And then the fourth quarter, the Celtics were down by 12. They wound up winning the game by 12. They outscored them 40-16 in the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable. As Mark Jones, who was calling the game for ABC last night, sitting in for Mike Breen, who is recovering from COVID. Get well soon, Mike. He called it a revolt against the Warriors. Maybe he was thinking about the Boston Tea Party. What he should have said was, It was a Boston three party. Tons of three-pointers last night. I came up with that all on my own. I missed my calling. What can I say? But speaking of the broadcast team for the NBA Finals, don't forget Deacon Steve Javy. Yep, he's a Catholic deacon. He's also the greatest referee in the history of the NBA. He provides color commentary on officiating throughout the playoffs and through the regular season as well on ABC, ESPN. He's going to be joining me on the show live on Tuesday. I think it's going to be a fun conversation. You won't want to miss that. So I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. It's been a great week here on the Cale Clark Show. Really appreciate each and every one of you listening, telling your friends about it, checking out the podcast if you can't listen live. It's always a pleasure, and I hope each and every one of you has an incredible weekend with your loved ones, and just enjoy the good weather. Hopefully, if you've got some good sunshine coming your way this weekend. I'm planning on doing some family stuff, going to a little festival, going to my godson's confirmation on Sunday. Man, we're all getting up there. And we all have a job to do. Soldiers on active duty, right? In the army of Christ called the church. This is Cale Clark. Thanks for being with me on the Cale Clark Show. Jim Shaper produced. Patrick Alok took your phone calls. Timmy's up next. Stay tuned. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.